All right. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay, good. All right, my name's Chuck and I'm an addict. And so grateful to be a part of this. And Norm starting it out, I was started out getting pretty weepy myself, just remembering a lot of the different people he spoke of and remembering the times of my early recovery and the people that I met and people that were so important to me and just an amazing thing that has taken place here. You know, when I came here, also the fellowship was very small and I didn't know it was small. It was big enough for me. And I like the fact that the meetings were small and there was, I think there were six meetings going. They had just closed down the other meeting that I missed that one, but the thing that started me off that really made me want to come back was actually the love that I felt from Narcotics Anonymous. You know, a lot of times we hear that people talking about, hey, I came into NA, they told me to shut up and sit down and all that. I didn't hear that. I think we hear what we need to hear, and we get told what we need to be told. And you know, I what I felt was love, and the love that I felt was from my first sponsor. He'd only been clean a year, but a year was a long time back then. And he was young, and unfortunately, he went back out because he didn't think that he had a problem after a while. He thought he was too young to be in Narcotics Anonymous and that maybe this was something that that he had outgrown. Well, you don't outgrow addiction. And unfortunately, he when he went out, he never came back. So, you know, the thing that we all got to remember is, hey, we go out there, we may not come back. And a lot of them didn't come back. The first meeting that I went to, the first NA meeting I went to was in Van Nuys, and a lot of the older people remember this. I was thinking, the lineup that we have here, if you put all of us together, we'd probably have one healthy body. but that's what happens when, if you want to be an old-timer, you got to take what comes along with being an old-timer. And sometimes the health especially doesn't get too good, but I'm amazed that the lineup here and all the different ages here. In the beginning, I didn't want to live past really 30 years old, not 30 years clean, but 30 years old when I was using. Now I appreciate the fact that I'm 78 now, and so I got here when I was 28 years old. I thought I was an old guy. My first sponsor took me to a meeting. It was asking a meeting in a treatment center. Treatment center is no longer here anymore, but the name of it was a part of the name that two of the main treatment centers that were talked about already. And they were all started by the same guy, or he was a part of all three of them. And but anyway, I went to this meeting, and my sponsor took me, and they had an NA meeting there, and there was an old guy there, and actually he's younger than I am now, so he was a young guy, but back then he was an old guy. And And my sponsor told me, I said, you know who that is? I said, no, that's Jimmy. And I didn't know anything about Jimmy. But anyway, that was my introduction to Jimmy. And, a couple of years later, Jimmy became my sponsor. You know, one of the things that, I think about that, and I think about all the different things that have happened because of Jimmy and the message that he carried. And you know, I never heard him really take credit and say that hey, I started Narcotics Anonymous or any of that. He was a humble guy, but he was always so really straightforward, and he'll let you know exactly what he thought. And it didn't matter who it was. And I'd heard him talk and, you know, step out at meetings and just somebody wasn't saying something that he thought was true, he'd actually kind of yell out at him. But his love was for Narcotics Anonymous, and that carried on for till his death. You know, funny, I hear my granddaughter, she's 2 and a half, she's knocking on the door and wanting to come to me. Now she can't get through the door, so she's crying, but so excuse me for that. But that's one of the blessings to me of being a part of Narcotics Anonymous, is we get the we get the gifts that we never even dreamed we would get. And I've gotten a lot of gifts like that. And my early recovery, and one of the things that was really important, and I was just reading over some of it this morning, was the 20th anniversary of NA, which was a big deal for me. It was like a convention, but it was Jimmy spoke there, and Bob Whaley spoke there, and Bob was the kind of the MC for it, the leader. And what a great meeting that was. And they talked about the history of Narcotics Anonymous, and Jimmy did a whole presentation on it. And they gave him the copy of the original bylaws of NA at that meeting. It was just a great event. And you know, Norm talked about Jack Whaley, and that he was a scary guy to me. And I didn't know that he had such a good heart until I actually was with one of my sponsors, you know, Jimmy, or my first sponsor, and he told me that Jack's a good guy. His heart's in the right place, and he was exactly what some people needed in NA. I think there were several people that didn't want to get loaded just because they afraid to come back and face Jack. He was a scary looking guy. He had a big scar across his face, and he talked about having holes drilled in his head, and it appeared that could have happened. But like I said, his heart was in the right place. But if you came back, and he talked about this at the 20th anniversary, if you came back and you were after getting loaded and had a relapse, he said, "Don't talk to me. Don't talk to me for a year." You know, and so I think that was one of the reasons people didn't want to go back out. They didn't want to go through that with Jack. But just, and then, you know, I think that we get the different people that we need in Narcotics Anonymous. I got the person that I needed. Jimmy was the one that was perfect for me at the time. He told me in the beginning there, he said, "Hey, I'm going to be one." I asked him to be my sponsor, and he said, "Yeah, he would do that." But he said, "I'm going to be one of the toughest sponsors you ever have." And I said, "Well, why is that?" And he said, "Well, because I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm not going to, you know, have you calling me all the time unless you want to. And you're going to have to go after this thing. You got to go after it." And, you know, it's kind of like I knew how to go after drugs. So I had to go after recovery too. And I did step work with Jimmy up until the day he died. I was still talking to him up until the end. And I remember the first inventory I took with him, I thought, man, even though he was been around for a long time and founder of NA, I thought, when I share this with him, he's going to just tell me, "No, this is too much for us, Chuck. You're going to have to take us to get some outside help." And it wasn't like that at all. And I really appreciate what Norm and Mel and Tom had spoke about it, and the secrets that that we think we need to keep. And there was some secrets in that inventory that I thought I needed to keep. And they were the ones that were, were going to kill me unless I let them out. And I let it out. And it was almost like it was, he didn't think it was any big deal. It was like it didn't faze him. I thought, oh, man. But I remember thinking that after I shared that, I thought, oh, man, why did you do that? Now he knows. Now he knows. And it was all right that he knows. And I realized after that this was something that couldn't harm me anymore, that it was harming me inside. And over the years, I've realized that that has become very important, that whatever I don't want to share is something I really do need to share, that that's the stuff that can take me out. And yeah, it was, you know, back then also we didn't, you just didn't take anything. It was talked about too. You just didn't do it. I remember Bill Beck saying, hey, at a meeting, he says, there was some of the over-the-counter drugs that he said, hey, you don't take any of that either. You read the labels and you see what's in it. And if there's any question, you don't take it. And that's the way it was. I think it was a good way to go, you know. And, you know, there have been times where I've had to take something in the hospital, but the same thing that normally, thank God I haven't had to take anything home. And I think if it's at all possible to do that, that's the way we should do it. We lose so many people to prescription medication. One of the things I was hearing, it's prescribed. It may be prescribed, but your head doesn't know the difference. And mine doesn't. It can take off. And it has when I've been in the hospital. You know, that thinking can come back. But I've been fortunate enough to be involved in, you know, all the people are talking, the reason that we all were so involved is fellowship was so small that it's almost like you had to get involved. You had to do different things. It wasn't like it is today. In fact, they used to have the GSR meetings, and there'd be people who were representing several meetings because there wasn't enough people to take on a different position. So you wore a lot of different hats and you did a lot of different things. But in the beginning, I thought I became a secretary of the first meeting that I went to. I think it was like I had about a month clean. And I thought, oh man, I thought I had arrived. I'm a secretary now. I didn't know that. Hey, I was supposed to be a service, and that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to do this. And you know, I did things for the wrong reason a lot of times, and it was the right thing to do, but for the wrong reason. I wanted the recognition, and that's not a good way to do it. But I think it's still important to do it. Jimmy, you always used to say, hey, do the right thing for the right reason. And he said the two of those have to go together. And I think, yeah, the main thing is that, hey, that we do the right thing. You know, if we keep coming around, we'll end up doing it for the right reason too. But I think we're supposed to do the right thing as soon as we can. You know, he used to say when Jimmy was at a meeting, yeah, it was talked about, that's where he gravitated towards a newcomer. As soon as the meeting was over, you'd see people going around in different groups of, you know, friends and stuff. Not Jimmy. He went directly to the newcomer. There was a saying that, hey, it was easier to get off of heroin than it was to get away from Jim McKinnon. And that's how he was with the newcomer. And I, you know, the thing that I've noticed with the sponsors that I've had, and I got a great sponsor. Mel's my sponsor now. I've had some really great sponsors, Jimmy, of course, and then, but the thing that I noticed that they've all done, they've all been in service. And I think when you're looking for a sponsor, you get somebody that's doing this thing, that you see that's doing it. Not so much the people that you identify with, but the person, people that are doing it, and the people that I've watched, like Jimmy, are doing this thing. You know, he was, you know, the thing that a lot of people didn't realize, and a lot of people up until the end there didn't realize is, hey, Jimmy was he was a very rich man, but not monetarily. He was a rich man. He was a rich man because of what he gave, and that's the most important thing that we can do is give back. And he gave so much to this fellowship. You know, the other person that actually became my sponsor after Jimmy passed away was Bob, and Bob was another one that picked up the ball with Jimmy and carried it until he passed away. And what a great example, you know, the people that taught us the way to go, you know, that did this thing with us. I, you know, Bob was, you knew Bob, he was all over the place. And in the beginning, I remember my first meeting, listening to Bob, he was at my first meeting. After a while, I kept going to the meetings, and Bob was always talking. And at first, I thought, man, why is this guy piped down? I don't need to hear him so much. But he had a lot to say then, and he was always talking to recovery. I remember the thing that stood out to me in the first meetings that I went to was that he I thought he went through the steps once, and that was it. And I didn't know anything about the steps. He said, no, we go through these steps and we continue to live these in our life. They're not just a one-time thing. We continue to live these steps. And that's what he did. He continued to live these steps. And he was involved in just about everything that had to do with Narcotics Anonymous. Whatever function or event or anything to do with the growth of Narcotics Anonymous, Bob was there. Bob was there, and I know that at the end of Jimmy's life, when he was in the hospital, you know, he talked this thing up until the end. I've still got the tape of, and he gave it to me, of him talking to Pepe about Narcotics Anonymous, and a lot of people don't know this, but he wanted to make sure that Narcotics Anonymous was never going to die. And he had a time capsule made that in case anything, you know, this thing all got blown up or anything, and they wouldn't have to start this thing over again, that the attic would have a place to go. And I thank God for the people that have made this thing happen. I didn't realize in the beginning that when I was a kid, I had grown up probably about 2 miles from Jimmy's house. Went to school about a mile away from his house. I didn't know that he was paving the way for me to come in the future. And he's paved the way for a lot of us to come in here. And you know, I look at the different people I've sponsored, and the thing that always stands out to me, and the thing that I still do is I watch people. I watch exactly what they're doing. They may not know that I'm watching, but I'm watching. And I watch Jimmy, and I watch Bob, and I watch Pepe. Pepe was my sponsor for a few years until his death. You know, I was fortunate to get some good people in my life that were, and the reason I got them is they had some time on the program, and they were doing it. And I wanted to do this thing too. You know, the things you pick up different things from different people you sponsor. And, you know, one of the big things I picked up from Pepe and he talked about was forgiveness. And it was exactly the right time that I needed to forgive someone that that was just tearing me up. I wanted to get a gun, and I didn't want to go back to prison, but I was thinking about maybe a stun gun or something. And when we talked, what he told me was this, Chuck, I didn't want to hear this, but he says, what you have to do is you got to start to forgive. You got to start to forgive. And he was another one that was just full of love. You know, Bob, the same thing, full of love for Narcotics Anonymous. I still have it's actually a license plate. It's not a real license plate. It was a license plate that Bob gave me. And it says, says on it, N-A-I-O-U. And I believe that's true. And Pepe used to talk about it too. You know, you talk about taking it out of one pocket, bringing it into one pocket, taking it out of the other pocket, that you know, no matter what, how much we give, we get it back much more than that. And you know, the other thing that that Jimmy used to say, and I've hung on to this, and I think it's real important. He says, hey, if you're grateful, he used to get upset with people that when they'd say how grateful they are. And he felt like, I remember him saying this, that hey, addicts are, are so ungrateful. One of our biggest character defects is we're ungrateful people. And his thinking was, hey, we get this gift of Narcotics Anonymous. We get our lives back together. We get all these different things that staying clean gives us. And we don't want to give it back. And that's why he would get upset. He says, if you're grateful, hey, give this thing back. Give it back. Don't try and keep it. If you keep it, you're going to lose it. You don't want to give it back. And, you know, I'm going to, I keep coming back around because I feel like I do owe Narcotics Anonymous. I do owe, and I could never repay the debt that I owe to NA. You know, the only way that I can continue to repay it is by trying to stick around and give it back. You know, I don't think it matters how much clean time you have. We're all subject to going out. And Norm talked about it. And I think Mel talked about it. There's some of us that had a long time clean time that still went back out and weren't able to come back, you know. The one that was really, really hard on me was my that first sponsor. You know, Jimmy was also very hard to go through that. You know, went through a lot with him and with the World Service Office, and I got to be a service with Tom at the World Level there, and some of the other people that are talking here, and that. Those were some difficult times, you know, because of what happened to Jimmy and how that took place, and that I could spend some time on that. But I think things work out the way that they're supposed to work out. But I've been upset on at the way that it was taken, the way that it was handled with Jimmy, and but. what a wonderful man, and Bob, what a wonderful guy, and now I got Norm that is exactly the sponsor that I needed at this time, and you know, we pray together, and I used to pray with Gene Haig, and I pray with a lot of the people that are going to be coming up behind me here, and what a great gift to be able to do that, you know. I had a hard time with God when I first came around here, and I didn't think they'd be talking about it at NA, but they did, and it's become the major thing that I've needed in my life, and I appreciate Mel being able to pray with me, and I used to do that with Gene before he passed away. And it was just really an important thing. Whenever I was going to share, we'd talk, and he would pray with me, because I've always had a hard time with talking, and he would pray with me, and now Mel does the same. And I think it's such a critical thing that we do that, and such a critical thing that we continue to pray for the newcomer. You know, I believe that that's why Narcotics Anonymous has gotten so big, is we continue to pray for the newcomer. And it was brought up to me by another friend that mentioned his name, but how important it is during these times that we really, at the end of the meeting, that we really, really concentrate on the newcomer. Because it's so important during these times with the Zoom, and you know, I don't know how I would have been with Zoom when I came to Narcotics Anonymous, but I think it's important that we focus on the newcomer. And I know there's one of the guys that started doing this, that they're passing around asking different people to work with some newcomers that are calling. I think that is so critical, that hey, we get the word out to the newcomer that we're here, you know. Remember Bob telling me this, and I think it's so important that when there was somebody new, he said, well, that guy's not calling me. He said, well, did you call him? I said, no. He said, well, yeah, give him a call. So I'm glad some people called me. I'm glad that my first sponsor kept on me. He knew how insecure I was. So, hey, you know, let's do that. Get the newcomer's number. Give him a call. You know, let them know that you care. That's the thing that kept me coming around in the beginning. That's the thing that keeps me coming around now, is the love that Narcotics Anonymous has to offer. You know, and I really appreciate being able to be a part of this thing. And thank God for Narcotics Anonymous, you know. That, like it said, this thing continues to grow. And the only reason it continues to grow is because it works, and it works real good. I know my time is up, and I appreciate everybody listening, and God bless all of you. Thank you. Love you all.
Love you too, Chuck. Thank you so much, man. You know, Chuck is a noontime meeting guy still, man. I'm a noontime meeting guy, Chuck. Thank you for your service. We love you. Thank you for sharing with us and caring with us as well.
Thank you.
All right, man. Right in a row. These guys are all buddies, man. And it's good. The camaraderie I see Chuck and Jack share, you know, is amazing. And so